Most of you know the story that's recorded in John chapter 6. Jesus went over the sea and a large group of people followed him, and he turned to his disciples and said that, where are we going to get food to feed all these people? And Philip said, Lord, it'd take 200 days of wages to buy all the food to feed this group. We read where one of Jesus' other disciples, Andrew, brought a little boy that had his lunch with him. Said, Lord, here's a little boy with a lunch, 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little pieces of fish. But what is that among so many? And you know the story how Jesus took that little boy's lunch. He blessed it and broke it, had everybody sit down in groups and had his disciples pass the bread out and pass the fish out. And everybody had everything they wanted to eat. I mean, they got full. Everything they wanted. And then Jesus said, well, take up the leftovers. And they took 12 baskets of leftovers up. Now, I've often wondered, how did they find that little boy? I mean, did he overhear Jesus' question to Philip? Did he overhear the disciples talking about where we're going to find all this food? Or did Andrew just sort of scan the crowd and say, hey, there's a little guy with a lunch. Maybe he'd be willing to help. But preachers have given this little boy a lot of credit. I mean, we've preached sermons on it. And I've preached many sermons on it. And I'll just give you an outline. Here's a person that gave what he had to God. It wasn't much, just a little lunch, a poor boy's lunch, 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little pieces of fish. But he gave what he had to God, and God used it in a miraculous way. 5,000 men, probably 15,000 people, counting the women and the children, fed from that one little lunch. And I'm sure that in heaven, this little boy has a place of honor. I'm sure if there's plaques in heaven, he's got his name on one of those plaques. Hey, you know, and I think when we get to heaven, we're going to get to meet him. I mean, we're going to have all eternity, and I think we're going to get to meet the little boy that day that shared his lunch with Jesus, and Jesus used it in a miraculous way. Now, wonderful story, but I want to go a different direction this morning. I want to ask you the question, who made the lunch? Who provided the ingredients for that lunch? Who went fishing to get the fish? Who planted and harvested the barley that made the bread? Who cleaned the fish? Wouldn't have been me. But who cleaned the fish? Who baked the bread? Who got up early and put it all together? You see, we give this little boy the credit, and we should. I mean, he shared what he had, and God used it in a mighty way. But behind that little boy was a dad and a mom who provided the lunch, prepared the lunch. Yeah, we honor the boy for sharing his lunch. But this morning, I want to point to the mom and dad of that little boy and say they deserve some honor, too. They deserve some credit, too. They did what was necessary for that little boy to be there that day, to put him in a position where he could share what he had, serve God by doing that, and see a great miracle from God. As those people, I mean, we didn't read verse 14, but the Bible says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Jesus couldn't have fed that crowd that day without the help of that little boy. The little boy gave his lunch not knowing what Jesus was going to do, and God used it in a miraculous way to point people to his son. And that little boy deserves a lot of credit, but I stand this morning and point to his dad and point to his mom and say they deserve some credit too. Now, I have a simple message this morning. I want to speak to every person here that was born because of a mom and a dad. I sort of think that takes into account everybody. If you're here and you're not in that category, you need to get up and leave. Just teasing. But I want to speak to everybody that had a dad and a mom. Everybody that had parents. I could go up and down the aisles. And some of you I know real well. Some of you I'm getting to know. Some of you I know hardly at all. But I dare say I could go up and down the aisles and I could find at least one thing, if not many things in your life that I can point to and say, hey, here's a winner. Here's somebody that has succeeded. Here's somebody that has done something for God. Here's somebody that has walked in God's will and God's used in a mighty way to bring other people to Christ through them. Now again, I could go up and down the aisle. And by the way, this is what Sunday school lesson was all about this morning. That's why we were saved. That's why God made us. He wants us to influence others for Christ. And I can go up and down the aisle, and I could point to at least one, if not more, in every person's life, some area of your life that you're a success for God, that you're a winner for God, that you're serving God, and praise God for you. You deserve some credit for that. But I hasten to say, so does your mom and dad. So do your parents. You wouldn't have been here, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, and you wouldn't be in the position you are to be that success, to be that winner, however you want to say it, to be used of God. You wouldn't be in that position if it wasn't for your mom and dad. And so this morning, I asked you the question, because I want you to realize that, I want you to grab hold of that truth, who made your lunch? Who made your lunch? Who put it together? Who put you in that position so that you could be what you are today? Your dad and your mom did. That's who did it. And so this morning, I say to every person, we dismissed the children, but I say to every teenager, and I say to every single young adult, and I say to every young married adult, and I say to every middle-aged adult, and I say to every senior citizen this morning, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. They provided the ingredients. They made the lunch. Yeah, you're getting the credit. You're getting the praise. But they deserve some of that credit. They deserve some of that praise. So you honor mom and dad. I'm going to go to the fifth commandment this morning. You know, the Ten Commandments are divided into two groups. There's the first four that tell us how we ought to deal with God. There's the last six that tell us how we ought to deal with mankind. Eight of the ten say, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, or covet. Only two of the ten are positive commandments. The last of the first four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the first of the last six, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God give to thee. You know, want to know what the funny thing is? Sometimes we have more trouble with the positive commandments than we do the negative commandments. Sometimes we have more sins of omission. Listen, somebody was sleeping. I just wanted to wake him up. I won't call any names, but you know who you are. Sometimes we have more sins of omission than we do of commission. And again, my message this morning is simple and straightforward. I want you to answer the question today. I want every single person that had a mom and dad, that had one or have one, I want every single person to answer the question. I'll ask it to myself, are you honoring your parents today? Are you honoring your father and your mother? That word honor means to hold in high esteem. That means to take glory in, to hold in high respect. I want to make five statements, and I'll be quick. Number one, honor is not the result of merit. Listen, honor is not the result of merit. The Bible doesn't say in that commandment, hey, if you had good parents, then you honor them. If your parents did a good job, then you honor them. If your parents loved you and provided for you and did everything that a parent was supposed to do, then you honor them. That's not what it says. There's no conditions. It's not a conditional commandment. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's not a question about whether they deserve it or not. And most of them do. But it's not a question about whether they deserve it or not. It's a question of if you're going to be obedient to God and do what God says when it comes to your mom and dad. Honor is due regardless of what kind of parents you have or had. Your mom could have gone to every PTA meeting, or she could have went to none of them. She still deserves your honor. She could have been a homeroom mother that brought cookies in every week or never sent anything to school. She deserves your honor. She could have been at home every night and cooked a good dinner, or went to the bar every night and never cooked dinner. Still, it's our responsibility to honor her. She could have stayed by the stuff, been the right kind of mom all your life, or abandoned you at an early age, left you on your own, but it doesn't matter. She still deserves your honor. Your dad could have come to every little league game, football game, basketball game, or maybe he did not make one single game in your sports career. He still deserves your honor. He could have bought your first bike, your first car, helped you make a down payment on your first house, or gave you nothing. He still deserves your honor. He could have been a model citizen that worked hard, that and paid his bills and did everything that a dad was supposed to do, or he could have been a bum, a drunkard, and not done none of those things. It doesn't matter. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. Dad and mom could have been a positive, constant influence in your life, or they could have abandoned you and said, you're on your own, kid. Do the best you can. It doesn't matter. Honor is not dependent on merit. Honor is being obedient to God. And God says, honor your father and your mother. And I know there's some people here, and you say, you don't know my dad, preacher. He was a mean drunk. He beat me. He never gave me anything. And I say to you in all love this morning, it doesn't matter. He still deserves your honor. Amen. You may say, you don't know my mom, preacher. She was crazy. Maybe you made her that way. She was crazy. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. She still deserves your honor. You say, you don't know my parents. They abused me physically. And listen, you know how I think about child abuse. Those that do it ought to be punished. They ought to pay the price. But again, honor is not dependent on merit. Honor is being obedient to God. And God says, honor your father and your mother. Number two, quickly, honor is not for a specific period of time. Honor is not just when you're a kid, not just when you're a teenager, not just when you're living at home, not just while your mom and dad are supporting you. In this verse and others in the Bible that say to honor our parents, I see no stopping point. I see no end point in this command. I guess you can say when a dad quits being a dad, we can quit honoring him. But when is that? When does a dad quit being a dad? When he turns bad? Still a dad. When he dies, still a dad. I don't see any end to the command to honor our parents. Your dad will always be your dad. Your mom will always be your mom. They always deserve your honor. It is not based on their merit. It is based on the command of God. And when he said, honor your father and your mother, there's no time limit. There's no stopping point. Number three, it is a command of God. It's not a request. It's not an option. It's not if you agree with it or not. It's not if you think God's right or not. It's on the same list of commands that says, have no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's on the same list of commands that says, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't covet. And we look at those commands and we say, I'd never do that. That makes a person a wicked sinner if they do those things. It makes a person a wicked sinner when they don't honor their father and their mother. Number four, it's the only one of the Ten Commandments with a promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's all sorts of people. They sell elixirs and concoctions and say, hey, we can help you live longer. Drink this, eat this, do this, and you'll add years to your life. There's only one thing that I know adds years to a person's life, and that's the promise associated with the fifth commandment. You honor your father and your mother, and God will add days to your life. He will. That's his promise. Number five, how do we show them honor? How do we show our parents honor? I have several points under this point. I didn't want to tell you I had 10 points because I didn't want to discourage you. But how do we show our parents our honor? Number one, we obey them. If you're still living at home, then you need to be obedient to your mom and dad. If you're living apart from home, as much as you can, you need to be obedient to your mom and dad. You need to do what they say and the way they say to do it. You need to do it immediately, and you need to do it with a good attitude. That's what obedience is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How do we honor them? We defer to them. So you're gone from home. You're no longer under their direct command. Okay. Defer to them when you can. Grant their request. When you can, just let them have the last word. If you can, let them be right. I mean, I know there's going to be times, but I believe they're going to be few and far between, where you can't agree with them, where you can't let them have their last word because of their own safety or for their own benefit. You have to be the adult in the situation. But where you can, you defer to them. You let them have the last word. You let them make the decision. Care for them. Number three, under point number five, care for them. It's a historical fact that families used to care for their own. Today, a vast majority don't want to do that. They don't want the inconvenience. They'll find a nice place for mom and dad to live with somebody to take care of them, and they'll say, I've done my duty to my mom and dad. And I know there will come a time when you have to, perhaps will have to put them in a place where somebody else can care for them because you can't. It's just not physically possible for you to care. But so many times we get to that point too quick. We get to that point too quickly. Look, we were a bother to them when we messed our diapers. We were an inconvenience to them when we threw up, wrote on the wall with crayons, and did all sorts of other things. And the things we did when we were teenagers, I won't even mention this morning. Part of honor, is taking care of them when they can't. What is honor? Number four, it's loving them. It's loving them. And you've heard me say often, love is not just a feeling, it's an action. Love for our parents ought to take many actions. It ought to take the action of us telling them every chance we get. It ought to take the action of us showing them every chance we get. It ought to take the action, I've already mentioned, of taking care of them when they can't take care of themselves. But part of our honor for our parents is loving them. And then number five, part of our honor for our parents is remembering them. Many of us this morning, our mom and dad are already gone. They've left the pilgrimage of this earth, and hopefully, for all of us, they're in heaven. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Remember them. And I'm not just talking about on Mother's Day, Father's Day, maybe their anniversary. I found that if I want to do something on a regular basis, I have to put it on my schedule. I have to write it down. I mean, if I don't write it down, it don't get done. And so if you're waiting on me to do something and I haven't done it, you need to tell me again because I didn't write it down and I forgot it. But write it down. Put it on your schedule. I don't think it's beyond reason to put on your calendar once a month, remember Mom and Dad today. Thank God for Mom and Dad today. Call to mind today what my mom did for me when she was still alive. Call to mind today what my dad did for me while he was still alive. Don't forget them. Remember them. There's another father that we need to honor. And that's God our Father. Amen. Say, preacher, how do we honor God the Father? Well, the best way we can honor God the Father is to receive the gift that he purchased for us on Calvary. You see, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, separation from God, here and for all eternity. And there was nothing that we could do about that, nothing we could do to pay that price. But what we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. He sent his son to live among mankind. He lived for 30-some years, in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. And that perfect, sinless Son of God, God allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, God the Father laid every one of my sins and every one of your sins on his son. And Jesus paid the price that we owed. He paid for our sins. And the best way to honor God the Father is to do what the Bible says. You see, because God did pay the price, or because Jesus did pay the price, God can offer to every single person a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the best way to honor God the Father is to take that gift, is to receive it. At a funeral Friday afternoon, 42-year-old young man pulled out in front of a garbage truck and was killed instantly, unexpectedly, tragically. Whenever you have a young person like that die, he has so many friends that are still living. There were over 200 people at the funeral. I mean, the room was long, and I could barely see to the end of it. Most of them young people. Yeah, there were some older people there, but most of them young people. And I presented the gospel. I told them what I just told you, that God loves us so much that he didn't want us to go to hell, to be separated from him. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. He loved us so much that he made it easy for us. He gave each of us enough faith to believe that. He gave to each of us enough faith to ask Jesus to be our Savior. I said, he's done, and I said Friday afternoon, he's done that to you. He's done that for every single person in this room. And then as I always do as a funeral, I had them bow their heads, and I said, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. And I had 12 hands go up from all over that room, one after another, 12 hands, and I led them in the sinner's prayer, asking Jesus to be their Savior. If you're here today, listen, listen, listen. You're a sinner. You're separated from God by that sin, and only his grace and his mercy can make you right. Nothing else. Would you come to Jesus this morning? Would you? Hey, I think it'd be not only a good way to honor God the Father, but it'd be a good way to honor your mom and dad if they were Christian. if they could know that their son or their daughter on May the 19th, 2019, asked Jesus to be their Savior, what an honor it would be for them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this young boy that shared his lunch. Thank you for the lesson that it teaches us. But thank you for their parent, for his parents. And thank you for our parents. Thank you that you gave us a dad and a mom. Doesn't matter what kind of dad and mom they were our dad and mom, given to us by God. And we are what we are today, in a large part due to them. Help us to honor them. Help us to honor them. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. Help them this morning to see their sin, to see the Savior, and to come to Him. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.